The text of our message today is taken from Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to 42. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to 42. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign or a miracle from thee." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." May the Lord add his richest blessing to the reading of his sacred word. The title of this message is not given fully because of space, but if fully put, if you believe the whale swallowed Jonah, then Jonah can swallow the whale. Pretty slick statement. These words were uttered by an American bishop who was my English teacher when I was in senior Cambridge in the Anglo-Chinese school. He preached this in coaching, and it was rehearsed for me that he said these words. We will not consider this point, but talk of miracles in our churches first, generally. Very interesting, while I was preparing this message, there came an email from a member of the Faith Community Baptist Church. And I know you, which church this is. Big church, crowded church with many people. And they speak in tongues and indulge in miraculous healing. This email says to Reverend Timothy To, "Sir, I would like to ask you a question. Why is it that your church do not believe in divine healing? Don't you know that God is supernatural God, and the supernatural God can do miracles and perform signs and wonders in healing the sick and casting out demons? Do you know something? A church that does not believe in miracles, signs, and wonders is not a real Christian church. Paul told us to shun away from such people who deny the power of God. Didn't you hear stories about God supernaturally healing the sick around the world as well as in Singapore? Didn't you hear about Pastor Ronnie Tan, Brother Francis Koo, and Pastor Joseph Prince, who all have miracle healings taking place in their ministry. Not the church only have its words, but totally denying the power. This is not the real Christian that Jesus wants. Christians to believe in healing, miracles, and signs and wonders. This is what Jesus wants. I am from Faith Community Baptist Church, and my church totally believes in healing and miracles. Then why don't your church believe also? Are you tired of seeing no growth in the church at all? Then it is time to believe in miracles, healing, signs and wonders. If not, 10 years down the road, the church will remain in the same stage, totally without power and lifeless. This man signs his name as Colin Wang. Well, we surely believe in miracles. We believe in the supernatural God. We believe that there is no salvation except through His Son, Jesus Christ. But we are taught in the Bible also that there are counterfeits, and that false Christs and false prophets would abound in the last days. Matthew 24:24. And they will do signs and wonders, that if it were possible, they will also deceive the elect. There was a great charismatic leader who went down to Australia, to Sydney in 1987. And to attend his meetings, you got to pay $150 Australian. And the people asked him, why you collect so much money? He said, well, that is for the Lord's work. Now that's what he said. And he said there are two kinds of evangelism. Ordinary evangelism, but we have power evangelism. And he meant to say that under him, he would be able to do miracles and wonders. And that he said that millions of people will come in, and even AIDS will be healed. After saying this, he died in a few years. Well, it is dangerous for us to assume too much for ourselves. We do not believe in so-called miracles. Make believe they think so. And I want to quote to you Reinhard Bonnke again. He's a German charismatic evangelist. I've told this to you once before, some time ago, but I want to relate or narrate what I said to you last time, because Reinhard Bonnke is coming to Singapore again, and he's going to have a fire conference, referring to some of his miraculous powers and or whatnot. When Reinhard Bonnke came here many years ago, he was highly advertised in the Anglican church paper, and a quote verbatim, that he will open the eyes of the blind and make the lame to walk. With a very powerful advertising machine, after the whole conference, the whole campaign was over, there was no report that any blind man had his eyes open, or any lame man was able to walk. But that was written in the after campaign paper. I read this and I remember very well. A young lady said that she was operated on one of her eyes, but the results are not very good. But by coming to the campaign of healing, her eye opened and was much brighter. And then she says, I'm going to hospital again to operate on the other eye. Well, logically, I asked myself, why didn't the evangelist heal the other eye too? If he could improve on one eye, he could improve on both eyes. It is this sort of miracle healing and so-called signs that they are practicing in Singapore. Ronnie Tan. Well, I know him, and I did make some comment about him, and he did reply on the pulpit about me. But the fact is that he went to Medan to have a miracle ready, but it was not successful. If it was successful, he would have gone again. If you have a headache, you can take away the headache with two Panadol pills and you'll be alright. But in the excitement of sweating and so forth, the headache also gone, and they say it's due to his miracle. And one of these things is most unfair to state. Many of them say, we have resurrected so many people. We have even resurrected puppies. Well, the puppy had a headache too, and then it appeared that she has died. Afterward, she got all resurrected. All kinds of claims. But what does the Bible say? Acts chapter 5 verse 12. That only to the apostles, to the hands of apostles, were given the power to do signs and wonders. You can check up on these verses. And then Mark chapter 16 verse 20. It tells us that these miracles were given in order that they may confirm the word that they preach. You must know that the church was an infant church going into a very hostile world. Christianity just being born in a hostile world which was filled with all kinds of idolatry. To make way, God gave power special to the apostles, like Paul and Peter healing. And yet the miracles when counted together are just a little fraction of the miracles that Jesus Christ had done. The chief miracle worker is none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He fed the 5,000. Why did he do that? Out of compassion that these people who hungered for the word of God were now fainting after 2 or 3 days in the desert, that eaten up all their food. So Jesus fed them out of compassion. You can be sure that coming to church today, the Lord is the one who has a compassion. Whatever your needs, your sorrows and your sadness, the difficulties in the home between husband and wife, children and parents, they are such a problem. Going to Harry Potter film will make them worse. But Jesus is here to receive all our prayers and our cries. And he particularly has stressed that he will answer the cries of orphans and widows, strangers and those that are in need. Well, Why did Jesus do so many miracles? Out of compassion. But one point that is even more important, brought up by John in chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, is to prove to the Jews and the Pharisees that he is the Son of God and he is God of very God. And so, when four men brought a man, a paralytic man, and they could not enter the house because of the crowds, they went to the rooftop, opened the rooftop, and let the sick man down. Jesus immediately said, "Son, my sins are forgiven thee." For a high purpose, to challenge the unbelieving Jews. At once, they questioned Jesus in their hearts. Who is this man to forgive sins but God? That's the whole point. Jesus is man, but he is God also. He is a God-man, and he has the power to forgive sins. To prove the point, he said, "Arise, take up the bed and walk." And the paralytic man got up immediately and took his bedding. The bed is not a bed like ours. It's a bedding. He rolled up his bedding. And he rose up praising God and went home. John chapter 10 verse 37 and 38 tells us that Jesus did such miracles, not only out of compassion, but to prove that he is the Son of God and God on earth who can forgive sins. Jesus opened the eyes of the man sent to the pool of Siloam to wash. He was born blind. He sat there. Everybody knew him. And when he was healed, the Jews and Pharisees did not accept. They just brushed aside. This is also a very important lesson for us. There is a truth underlying every situation. Be careful, it's important for us to seek the truth and the whole truth, that we may be set free. But they won't. They ask the parents. The parents were afraid of that. "Well, you can ask him, he's grown and he can tell you." And when they asked him, he said again, "A man called Jesus opened my eyes." They said, "Shut up, he's a sinner, he broke the Sabbath." But the man went everywhere praising God, "A man called Jesus opened my eyes." Now that's the truth. But now, if the Jews did not believe in Jesus, why did they ask Jesus for a miracle? This is a passage we read just now. They meant, "You do a super miracle. These miracles are not so great. Do a super one." Alright, if you want to have a super one, Jesus said, "Then I have no other sign to give you but the sign of Jonah." Do you know the story of Jonah? Most famous in the Sunday school, yeah, the first to hear about of Jonah being swallowed by the whale. And he was inside the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. I think after the first God of Jonah into the whale, if the whale swallowed Jonah at 12 o'clock, by 6 o'clock, he would be digested. He would be part of the fish, no more. But he could stay there in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, having first class cabin. So warm and nice here. The storm outside doesn't matter. It doesn't he doesn't worry. The Lord, by his special power, as he preserved Daniel, the lion's den, and the three Hebrew boys in the furnace of Nebuchadnezzar, preserved Jonah from being digested. That after 3 days or three nights, he came out alive. Isn't that a super miracle? That's my miracle for you. Even as the Son of Man is 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, the Apostles' Creed tells of this, that Jesus Christ died and was buried. Not like these people who say, oh, I resurrected. The fellow had a headache and maybe he became unconscious. Then he became, oh, I resurrected him. These are miracles that they claim. There's an American evangelist. He believed in his power. He said, please keep my mother's body. I'm coming home. She died. Keep her in the ice box. And when I come back, I'll resurrect her. Of course, he never could. Let a person die for 3 days, and then you say, I come and resurrect. Then, if he lives again, we can say that truly this is a death and he has come alive. But thank God, Jesus had no sin, so his body cannot decompose. Jesus is immaculate, who came to die in your stead and mine. By dying out there, that we may live. Therefore, he came out from the grave in his own power, as well as by the power of the Holy Spirit and of the Father. And how glorious it was. But when they don't believe in the miracle of Jonah, they also don't believe in the miracle of Jesus rising from the dead. That is the meaning of, if you believe that Jonah swallowed the whale, then you can believe that the whale swallowed Jonah. It's a statement of rank unbelief and scathing ridicule against our Lord. And truly, this bishop who taught me, American bishop who taught me English in the ACS, he doesn't believe in the resurrection. That is what it means. And it will surprise you. There are so many theologians, bishops, leaders of the church. 95% of the bishops in England deny the virgin birth of Christ and his resurrection. And if they admit there's a resurrection, they are very clever. They say it like the Chinese, who are so faithful and touched by the father of the Republic, Sun Yat-sen. So they give him much honor by saying that his spirit is alive. I was in Nanking. I went to the mausoleum of Mao Zedong of Sun Yat-sen, and they had the four words, "Jing Shen Bu Shi." His spirit is not dead. So they admit that sort of a resurrection, a spiritual resurrection. But thank God, ours is a bodily resurrection. God has created us and he loves us in the flesh. And he wants to live with us, God living with man together. And Jesus is a God-man who is a mediator. Christ did rise from the dead. I mentioned three of these who attacked the resurrection. One is Westcott and Holt. They have heard me several times now. Who attacked the King James Bible, revised it, and tore away 8 chapters. Westcott and Holt, according to Dr. Wade, who has all the evidence, is that they reject the resurrection. The second case is a case of Reinhold Niebuhr. He is an American theologian. When I was a student in America, he was still speaking. He may not be living now. And this is his blasphemy. He said someday he would see the bones of Jesus lying on the slopes of the Judean hills. He can expect that. If Jesus' bones are lying on the Judean hills, how miserable we are. If the one who talks about resurrection is not resurrected, then how can he resurrect us? So we thank God that he has risen. Another proof of theologians in high schools and seminaries who reject the resurrection is the death of Dr. Van Dusen in an American missionary, in an American seminary. He and his wife were over 80 years old. He was teaching theology in that seminary. But being old and not knowing where to go. Is it sadness when you grow older every day, you have to reckon with death? But if you have no Jesus, no resurrection, you have nowhere to go. It's either up or down, heaven or hell. So Van Dusen and his wife one night decided, we are so frail of body and it's a burden on the people, the best thing is we take an overdose of sleeping pills. And the next morning they found them in the apartment, in the seminary. Why did they commit suicide? Because they have no hope beyond the grave. Because they have not the resurrection. But every time I conduct a funeral, I have only one verse. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me will never die. I have no other Bible verse to preach whenever we come to the gravesite and to the grave hole. And I am very sure it brings a great lot of hope and cheer to those who sorrow after their loved ones and they want to see them again. Even the grave diggers, the Malays, I've spoken to them. And all the caretakers, they bring the coffin to the grave, Indians mostly. They hear what I say and they challenge them. Today, this world is full of death and misery and sadness. People, innocent people are killed and dying without number. America can avenge the September 11 incident, but Bush has no message of hope to a lost world. We are the people who have the message. Why do we preach it? We cannot restrain missions. We must support in every way those who are working hard for the Lord. All right, these three examples of American theologians, Dr. and Mrs. Van Dusen. I read all this in past days many years ago, and I remember these things. The fact is that the resurrection is the most attested fact of history. Agree all true Bible scholars. Jesus appeared 10 times to the apostles and ate with them honeycomb and fish and said, touch me, the spirit has not bone and flesh. Then they appeared to Paul, to Saul, and converted him, that he became his bond slave of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel throughout the whole Roman Empire in a matter of 30 years. And then, finally appeared to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos, and then caused him to write the book of Revelation, the coming of Christ for us. Paul says, if we do not have the resurrection, and we have not the belief in this resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. But Christ indeed is risen from the dead. Every Easter. It's interesting that some churches don't celebrate Easter or Christmas because they say it's not commanded in the scriptures. If I'm a grandfather, haven't got to command my grandchildren to make a birthday party for me, it's up to you. If the church really loves the Lord, we will exult in Christ. Easter. There was one who challenged the Easter message and said there is no resurrection. Immediately the whole congregation of 5,000 rose up with one voice, He is risen. St. Paul says, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Today I want to confirm the salvation in your heart. Do you believe in the resurrection? Praise the Lord. I surely believe in the resurrection. You are saying, on this count alone. And if you believe in the resurrection, you live a resurrected life. So, you must know that every Sunday is Resurrection Day. Therefore, I pick Christ the Lord is risen today to sing this as an introduction to my message today. This American bishop who taught me English made a very sarcastic remark. If you believe that the whale swallowed Jonah, then the Jonah can also swallow the whale. Sounds very learned. Sounds that, you know, I know much more. These learned theologians are lost forever. Like the Jews who never accepted the facts of truth. They wanted to do it their own way. They are lost. Do you believe in the resurrection? Say, hallelujah, I believe. Let us pray. Lord, bless every worshipper here who believes in you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Lord of God. He has risen from the dead and is coming again to judge the world very soon. Help us, O Lord, all to be prepared to meet him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.